following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Resonance 2021. This is our fourth year, though we had some concert series a number of years before as well. And I love the way you guys support these and come out and the crowds grow through the summer. And we got to have you guys back again, David and Christy. We've given this this year the theme of Psalms in the Night. And songs are rich. The biggest book in the scriptures is a book of songs, Psalms. That's all psalm means, is songs. And songs are about life issues. How many of you got a favorite song? If I told you you're going to go away for a long time and you get to take one song with you, how many of you got a song in mind that you take with you? Now, some of you, it might be a hymn. You got a favorite. Okay, on the count of three, I'm going to have you shout out your favorite of all time singer, songwriter, musician. One, two, three. I heard a Kenny Loggins up here close. And one more time. I mean, when I said shout, I didn't mean whisper. One, two, three, shout it. Here you go. One, two, three. I heard a James Taylor. Yes, Our Hearts Beat Together. That was for me a long time ago. I'm in the middle of, probably never will finish this song, but I'm starting a song about people who's singer-songwriters that were really important to me when I was trying to figure out life without Jesus. And they kind of nudged me maybe in the right direction. But the psalm I'm going to read to you from tonight in the book of Psalms, I was up in Yosemite when I was reading this particular psalm, and I sketched out the outline of Yosemite Falls, I mean the cliffs above Yosemite Falls, this last year. And it was James Taylor, the first time I ever heard him in the spring or in the summer of 1970. So this song is going to go something like this. There was Taylor and Simon and Dylan and Diamond and Peter and Mary and Paul. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All those guys. And so many others that just really impacted my life and made me want to do music and write poetry and all that kind of stuff. But songs are everywhere, aren't they? I mean, you cannot get away from the music. You hear songs in weddings. Of course, you hear songs in weddings. You hear songs in funerals. You hear songs at graduations, even if you didn't graduate. You hear songs all over the place, and happy birthday songs and anniversary songs and everywhere you go. National anthems. How many of you can sing your national anthem? Our national anthem was sung in a way that very few people can sing it from beginning to end with because it covers like three different vocal ranges, but all kinds of songs, elevator music. Why did they decide they needed music in an elevator? And doctor's offices and dentist offices. How many of you, when you hear a song that you know, you want to sing along? Let me see the hands. Anybody like me? And how many of you, it's kind of torture when you're in the dentist chair and your mouth is wide open? And you went, "Lee, on a how long?" And I was in a dental chair recently, and it was, I'll hum it to you the way it was with my mouth open. Ha ha ha, ha 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 ha. What was it yesterday? All my troubles seem so far away, and no kidding. Now it looks as though they're here to stay as she's drilling into my tooth. But music, we all love music. It doesn't matter who you are. You've got some kind of a playlist that you love. There's a theme song or an anthem for every branch of the military. Every state has their state anthem. And music, it penetrates us. There's something about it, like you heard tonight, songs for lovers and songs for friends. Thank you for being my friend. There's something about, though, the songs of Scripture. They're not just there for play. The songs in the Bible, those 150, and there's more than that because there's songs in other places in the Bible, but those 150 that we find in the book of Psalms, there's something about the way that they hit us in every area of life. And whatever mood you happen to be in, there's times when you felt exactly like the psalmist who lifted up his voice, David, and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there's times when you felt, again, like I think Asaph is one of them, and there's another one by another name, I mean another artist. One of them plagiarized the other one just a little bit, where they sing something like this to their own soul about rejoicing in the Lord. Oh, my soul, take heart and rejoice in the Lord. Why are you cast down, oh, my soul? And you've been there. And there's days when you resonate with Psalm 23, which I think is the work of an old King David, because he's brief in his words at this point. And he's walked through a long, very hard life. And he says, God is my shepherd. Yahweh, the Lord, is my shepherd. I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And he feeds me and he tends me. I've said this many times to you that are a part of Refuge. He comes to the end of his song. And he's talked all the way through it about how good God is to him. And there at the very end, he says this. And so goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I'm of the opinion that David is saying, God, you've been so good to me. I'm going to make sure that there's a trail of goodness behind me where I've been good to other people because you've been good to me. And so he wants it to spill over to other people. And so I want to talk to you tonight about one of those psalms. It was hard. You know, when we started putting this together 4 months ago or so, and Chase, who's done a magnificent job, and his team in putting all of this together, he is such a kind person. And he's not a heavy driver, but I know I had to be a frustration to him when we came down to who's going to be playing and who's going to do the new voice artist and who's going to be the main artist and what psalms and what pastor is going to do which psalms. And I said, let's go through 16 psalms, or about 12 or 14 psalms. And he kept saying, do you have those psalms yet, Pastor Bill? And it wasn't until about a week and a half ago, maybe honestly, it was probably more like a week ago, that I said, here's the ones. Let's spread these out. And there are so many others that we could have gone to. But what I want to share with you tonight is out of Psalm 96, and I'm going to just barely tag a song, another one by David, Psalm 70, the one that I mentioned as we were just beginning. Here's what David says, and he says he wrote it to the choir master, which we would call like a worship leader today. And he said it was for the memorial offering, whatever that meant. And he says, make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. So it's one of those times in David's life where he's being chased again. He got chased by Saul. He got chased by Saul's people. He's being hounded. There's times I'm sure that he realizes he's being chased by, hounded by the devil, who just wants to destroy him. His own children come after him. Absalom's out to try to kill him. And so he's leaving, and his life was one trial, it seems, after another. But in Psalm 96, I'm sorry, not 96, Psalm 86, the one I was reading the day that I began that 50th anniversary climb up to the top of Yosemite Falls. I'd only been there one time before as a very lost and dark and grieving and angry 17-year-old, had just graduated high school and trying to figure out what life was all about, and got up to the top of the falls. And I had this, I've said this before too, I had this strong suggestion to just jump, just get it over with. What a beautiful place to die. And so I felt it was appropriate to sketch out the outline of that 1,500-foot drop around Psalm 86. And listen to David as he pours out his heart to God. He says, incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I'm poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. I don't know at what time in his life he wrote this, not the afternoon after the Bathsheba incident, I'm sure. But he said, preserve my life, for I'm godly. In other words, my eyes are fixed on you. And save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. And he says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. I think when he said cry, he meant cry. I think there were tears in his eyes when he was writing this song. A lot of the psalms in the book of Psalms are blues. Some of them are celebrations. Some of them are love songs. But this one's kind of in the blues category. And he says this. He says, gladden my soul. And I'm going to highlight 8 brief little snippets here where what David does is he tells us what God is to him. And so he says this, he says, gladden my soul. And what he's saying is, God, you're my joy. You're my source of joy. And listen, if you're looking for deep, abiding joy in anyone but Jesus, you're going to be let down. So David says, God, you're my source of joy. So he says to him, gladden my heart Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving and abounding in steadfast love. About a year ago, it will be the 13th, I think it is, of July, I started reading 5 psalms a day again, and I can't wait to be back on that pack of psalms in less than a month. But I noticed on my way through the psalms, one of the most often repeated phrases is about the loving kindness of God and his steadfast love. Say it with me, steadfast love. That means a love that never, ever quits. I don't care who your beloved is, who your spouse is, who your girlfriend is, or who your boyfriend is, or I guess I should say bae, although I don't usually use that word, but whoever that one special person is, their love may be strong, but there will be days when it doesn't feel like love. In moments where you're having that intense fellowship that I talk about from time to time, where you're at odds with each other, it just happens. But God's love is absolutely steadfast to all who call upon him. And David says, give ear, O Lord. In other words, listen to my prayer. And another psalm, he says, this is what I love about you, God. You hear my prayer. When I talk to you, you listen. So he says, give ear to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you. He says, God, you're the one that makes me glad. You're my joy. And he says here, God, you're my rescuer. You're the one that I will look to. Some of you tonight, you need a rescuer, and you know it. You've tried to rescue yourself. You've called everybody on your speed dial, and none of them can give you what you need. God is your rescuer. If you're sinking super low, now's the time to stretch out your hand and lift up your voice and say, God, help me. God, be my deliverer. Be my rescuer. He wants to do that for you today. He said, you will answer me. And then he says this, for there's none like you among the gods. Other psalms say, all the idols of the nations are dead. There's no life in them. They're man-made. But he says, there's none like you among the gods, O Lord. In other words, you, God, the source of my joy, you're my rescuer, and you are the one true God. There is no other God. And nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. I believe we're going to see that day when the God who gladdens our hearts and the God who rescues us and the God who is the one true God will be seen as the one true God. And all the people of the earth will bow before him. He goes on, though, and he says this, for you are great and you do wondrous things. And he's speaking there of creation. He says, God, you're the creator of all that I've seen. In some of the Psalms where the writer, David is typically the one, he's talking about the idols, these man-made gods, and they've done this and that, and you got to make them, and you got to screw them down to hold them on the table, or they'll topple over, and you cut down a tree out of the forest, and you carve it, and you call it your God, and how foolish all of that is. And here's what he says. But the one true God, Yahweh, he's the one who created everything you see. That's who our God is, the maker of all the good stuff that you see. You see the twinkling stars up there that make every child look up and say, wow, that's the God who made the heaven and the earth and made you. And so he says to him, God, teach me your ways that I may walk in your truth and unite my heart to fear your name. That phrase has really arrested my heart this week. In another psalm where the psalmist says, put all the broken pieces of my heart together and unite me, Lord. Unite my heart to praise you. Unite my heart to fear your name, to respect you and to honor you and to love you and to obey you, Lord. And then he said, and I will glorify your name forever, for great is your steadfast love, says it again, toward me. And you've delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. I put in the margin, many times he did that. From the depths of certain death. He thought he was over. He thought he was a goner, and God lifted him. Now he says this as he moves to a close. He said, oh God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life. And they did. They were after him day after day. In fact, with Saul, all that Saul did from the time that he was rejected as being the king of Israel, all that he did was spend the rest of his life chasing David and trying to kill David. instead of realizing it's the end of my administration, I have not been reelected. I'm just going to step aside and let the next one rule and let David come and be the king. So these people are chasing him, ruthless men seeking his life. And they do not set you before them, God, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And listen to this as he closes his song. Turn to me and be gracious to me. And give your strength to your servant, and save the son of your maidservant, and show me a sign of your favor, that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Let me put this all together. He said, God, in this hard time of my life, I want to ask you for a show of hands. It would probably be more than half of you. Would say, it's a hard time in my life right now. I know one young woman here in our fellowship has dealt this last year with cancer and the surgeries that go along with that. And just yesterday, we got word that the MRI is showing other things that they need to take a look at. And this young woman continues to charge forward with great joy and with hope and with confidence. And I want to ask you to be praying for her. You know her. She ministers to our kids here. Her name is Bree. And Bree is a breath of fresh air. Bree, are you here? Or is she might be helping kids somewhere right now tonight. But be praying for Bree, because she's one of these kind of people that has her eyes fixed on her Savior, on her Rescuer, the one who makes her glad, the one who is the one true God, the one who created everything, including her, the one, as David says at the end of his song, is so full of grace and so full of mercy, the one who is a Savior, the one who is my comforter. Some of you tonight need the comfort of Jesus, and he's here to comfort you. And the last thing he says is, he's my comforter and he's my helper. And you know, there's many, many people here tonight. You wouldn't say you're in the worst crisis of your life, but how many of you would admit, I still need help. I still need help from God. I'll ask you to raise your hands if that's you. I still need help. I'll never be in a place where I don't need the help of the Lord. And so what do you do when you need help? You reach out your hands, especially when you're in deep, deep trouble. I remember I got in lots of trouble when I was a kid, and I get in lots of predicaments that I couldn't get out of. I was a short little guy, and I jump into deeper pits than I could jump back out of. And when I'm down in the pit, my hands were just up yelling for Kevin. Hey, Kevin, get me out of here. You stretch out your hands for help. And I might ask any of you tonight that would say something like, God, I want you to be the one that restores the gladness to my soul. I want to acknowledge you as my creator, God. I want to recognize you as my only hope of salvation. Listen, if you haven't understood this yet, it's absolutely clear in Scripture, and it should be clear to all of us by now. None of us can save ourselves. We all need a Savior. And thank God that's been taken care of. The one who took the penalty, took the fall for us, so we don't fall permanently. We fall upon his mercy. But if tonight you're one of those people would say, oh God, hurry up. Please hurry up. I need your help. I need your comfort, Lord. I need your rescue. I need you, Father. I want to ask you if in any of those categories or a category I didn't mention, that you would lift up your hands with me, and we'll make a prayer in the night, as we're going to sing another song in the night as well. And as David and Christy are going to come back up and share another song with us, as two, you guys can come now. But I want to pray for you. Anybody tonight that would lift your hands before God and say, God, I need your help. I really need your help. I need your wisdom, Lord. I need faith. I need purity, God. I need you to rescue me. So let's pray. Father, you see our hands stretched out before you. And there's no shame, Lord, in us acknowledging to you. We are a needy people. Every one of us, Lord, we need you. None of us are self-made men or women. And so, God, we cry out to you, thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus, whose blood was shed for us, so that heaven could be our home, so that our sins could be forgiven and the shame could be lifted, and we could take off that old dirty shame like a filthy t-shirt and just discard it and put on your robe of comfort, Lord, and your robe of help and health, Lord, and freedom and rescue. So God, we need you. And we lift our prayer to you. I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. I'm not tricking you into anything. We're just going to cry out to God the simplest prayer. And if you're ready to ask him for his help personally, lift your voice as well and say this. Father God, in Jesus' name, I come to you for your help, for your forgiveness. I need your strength. And I give what's left of my life into your capable hands. Hands that were scarred for me. And I ask you to lift me, Lord, and take me to a new place. I surrender who I am to you, and I thank you for your steadfast love. In Jesus' name, the rest of my life is yours. Amen. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.